This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Baby, your song, you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, when I first
on the Bernie and Sid show, Bernie flying solo. Sydney still on vacation. One more day. The last day. He's back tomorrow. Sydney, my brother. Again, we're contractually obligated to vacation on separate days. And thus, my solo appearance, and there will be solo appearances by Sydney in the future. It's going to go like that over the summer. Hey, who are these guys, Matt Meaney?
Florida Georgia Line.
Florida Georgia.
Those guys.
You know what's a good summer song is, country-wise, is the Keith Urban.
Mm-hmm.
Bottle of Yoo-Hoo rolling on the floorboard.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, I know what you're saying.
At some point,
songs in the summer are always good.
Yeah, they work.
Yeah, they're easy.
I like Canned Heat, Going Up the Country.
Going Up Country is another good one.
Not exactly country, but it has country in the label and in the title.
Yeah.
Down cruise.
Yeah.
So, it is a beautiful July 10th.
11th.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm testing you, yeah. Bro.
7-Eleven. Go to 7-Eleven today. You get some free Slurpees.
That's right. Today is 7-Eleven, and they have that... They have that at Slurpees. You get a free Slurpee.
And I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but I think last year they said you can bring in whatever you want. You could bring in a baseball helmet. You could bring in whatever you want, and you could fill up your Slurpee with that whatever piece of or cup you had. So,
well, I'm sure that people will take them up on that. But
yeah.
Why? I don't know. So what is a Slurpee? Slurpee is what? Syrup and ice, right?
Essentially, yeah. I mean...
I guess it's good stuff. I'm not going to pass judgment.
No, it's good. I mean, as kids, I remember drinking them a lot. But
so it's great for your teeth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And your diabetes and all that stuff.
Diabetes, yes.
But no judgment.
No.
So listen, we have a nice show planned for you today, actually. We have famed attorney Alan Dershowitz is actually going to come on the program. He's got a book out called The Case Against Impeaching Trump. He'll be on, and he's having a rough time of it. Apparently, his liberal friends are eschewing him. They don't want to be near. They don't like him anymore. Alan Dershowitz, who is, he's got certain principles, certain legal principles. When you apply them to politicians, presidents, for example, which he applied to Bill Clinton when he was under legal assault back in the 90s. Well, he's doing the same for President Trump. But now, well, that president is not what they want to hear. It's not what his friends on Martha's Vineyard want to hear. So he's going to come on. I'm going to talk to him about that. And he also, we have Anthony Scaramucci, the brilliant Anthony Scaramucci. I got a lot to ask him about. Regarding the president, and I'll ask him about the judge, Kavanaugh, but this Michael Cohen, everybody's talking about him flipping, and of course, I always thought that guy was half a weasel anyway. He really, just a full, tough guy. Take a bullet for Donald Trump. I know his family is the FBI squeezing him. I know all that stuff, but it's all predicated to Michael Cohen flipping on the president having done something illegal. Now, there'll be some embarrassing stuff, no doubt, but in an effort for Mr. Cohen to save his butt in, I don't know, I don't even know why he's under, I don't even know what he did wrong, to be quite honest with you. He paid off the Stormy Daniels lady, and anyway, there was just an all-out assault on the guy. Knocked his doors down. And I guess the knowledge that the Paul Manafort is actually in solitary confinement. Paul Manafort had nothing. There's nothing to do with Russian collusion whatsoever. It's all these tangential things, these other things, the fruit of the poisonous tree. They found things out, and they're trying to squeeze everybody. And Manafort, again, he tried to tamper with witnesses, so they throw him. They put him in solitary confinement. He's in jail. They don't want him in the general population, but they didn't give him home confinement. They could take away his computer. They could, you know, just leave him home. He's in solitary confinement. So that must give Michael Cohen the willies or something, because he's getting very soft. He's talking to all these liberal journalists. Anyway, I think the Mooch knows that guy, and I'd like to ask him, what he thinks is going to happen there, or why he's going soft. And I think we know why. Again, he's just afraid. But he's not the tough guy that he always planned to be. Also coming up on this Bernie and Sid program this morning is the comedian Rita Rudner. Now, you say, Rita Rudner? Well, you may remember her from back in the day, some of you. She actually used to be a regular on the Johnny Carson show. Yeah, she's in her 60s now. But she still does stand-up. She's been working the Vegas Strip for pretty much the 21st century. That's been her thing. Now she's out touring the country. And she's funny. When people used to say, hey, female comics, they're not funny. They're not funny. I would cite Joan Rivers, of course, and then Rita Rudner. She always made me laugh. And then, of course, we have Tommy Smith is coming on. The French beat Belgium yesterday in the World Cup semifinals. And today, England plays Croatia.
Should be a good one.
Right.
Yesterday was exciting. I mean, only a 1-0 game.
And I'm rooting I'm totally all in for Croatia, and I'll explain that in a little while.
All right.
First on Alan Dershowitz, let me just set the table a little bit. This guy, well, here's what he said about his time on Martha's Vineyard. Now, remember, this is a big liberal vacation haven. Bill Clinton and Hillary used to go there. I mean, Barack Obama used to go there. You know, you'd think they'd go, I don't know, to North Dakota, Mount Rushmore, or some, you know, the Grand Canyon, some nice American interior place, Yosemite National Park, whatever. Yellowstone, I don't know, the Redneck Riviera.
No, something nice.
The Panhandle down in Florida, something with the people.
With a little diversity, you know.
No. They're out on an island on their own, and Alan Dershowitz is part of that crowd. In fact, this is Martha's Vineyard is where Bill Clinton actually bought a book called Leaves of Grass. For those who remember, back in the 90s, he bought a book called Leaves of Grass for his lover, Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, how adorable.
He bought it. I forget, the bookstore became notorious there for a little while, but that's the kind of place it is. But now Alan says that nobody wants to play with me or have a cocktail or play badminton with me. I don't get any invites. I go to the restaurants by myself. I could see him there sitting on his porch, you know, with a six-pack, throwing the empties in the front lawn or whatever the hell he does. I don't know. But anyway, this is Alan Dershowitz talking about being made into a pariah, a leper, being just left out on Martha's Vineyard. Take a listen to him.
At a party this week on Martha's Vineyard, a woman said, if Dershowitz were here tonight, I'd stab him through the heart. This is a Martha's Vineyard woman saying she would stab me through the heart.
And that was Mrs. Dershowitz. He's like, honey, please.
Take it easy.
All right. Impeach the president, but put the knife down. Yeah, so that's Alan Dershowitz going through a terrible, terrible, tough summer for Alan Dershowitz. A brilliant mind that he is, and again, a principled guy. He says he disagrees with Trump on policy. I'm going to ask him, too, like, for example, what policies do you disagree with? I mean, what don't you agree with? You don't agree with a roaring economy, or you don't agree with, you know, withdrawing from the Iran deal, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? You don't agree with strong borders? What do, I'd like to ask him about that, because people don't engage on that anymore. People just, they don't engage on the issues. Just racist, shut up, racist, shut up. Well, maybe he'll engage, but actually he gave an interview, Alan Dershowitz, and he talked about his pariah status on Martha's Vineyard, being an outcast, and the questioner said to him, people only hear one word, Trump, when you start defending him. That's all they hear. And he replied, that's what reminds me of McCarthyism, when you couldn't speak out on certain issues. He says, you have to pretend to be dumb. I love that. That is so true. He continues, because once you get sophisticated and nuanced, you're politically incorrect. That's exactly right. It's emotion versus logic.
Yep.
It's all it is. It's emotion versus logic. The travel ban. Oh, my God, you can't. You're going to stop the Muslims. People want to come to this country. What is this? This is not the country I grew up. The border. They're ripping kids from their parents. They're ripping kids from their parents' arms, et cetera, which is really good, too, because yesterday they had, the president had the best response to that. Missing a deadline yesterday. I'll get to that. But first, before I move on to that, let me finish with Alan Dershowitz. Morning Joe and Mika, they don't like Alan Dershowitz. They were on this this rant about Alan Dershowitz, Morning Joe and Mika, the skunk and the skank. And this is what Scarborough, I'm still on Ambien. Can you tell?
Yeah, I can
tell
a little bit.
A little slow here. Mm-hmm. Well, this is him. This is Joe Scarborough talking about Alan Dershowitz.
He's upset because doing the bidding of Donald Trump and by extension Vladimir Putin by attacking Robert Mueller III, he's not allowed to come to the trendiest clam bakes without feeling a cold shoulder.
Well, apparently, I mean, that's where the left of Trump haters, I guess that's the fashionable place to stop by is Morning Joe. And it really punched. It was like a punch in the gut to Alan Dershowitz, who then said this in response to that.
Put aside Martha's Vineyard, put aside clam bakes and cocktail parties, and put aside what Morning Joe was saying. By the way, I challenge Morning Joe to have me on a show when he mocks me so that I can respond. It's easy and kind of unfair to attack somebody and then not give him an opportunity to respond. Let's see if he has the guts to put me on a show so that I can tell his viewers the truth.
There you go, Alan Dershowitz throwing down the gauntlet, a challenge, drawing a red line in the sand. Let's see what you're going to do there, tough guy, with the little eyes and the Coke bottle glasses. And the flaky girlfriend there? Let's see.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alan Dershowitz will come on today. I don't know if that was resolved, if he heard from Joe Scarborough or whatever, or if he's still honked off. But again, he's got a new book out. We have Alan Dershowitz. We have Anthony Scaramucci, the comedian Rita Rudner, and I believe soccer commentator, this Irishman, this really, really colorful dude, Tommy Smith, on the semifinals today between England and Croatia. France won yesterday. The finals will be played on Sunday in Russia. Also, Sacha Baron Cohen, he's got himself. He actually impersonated a disabled veteran to the point where he got in a wheelchair. He's punking people left and right for the Showtime special. But this, to a lot of people, well, they weren't happy about it, and understandably. He did impersonating a disabled vet in a wheelchair. We have all that. And also the president going to London today. He's the NATO summit starts at 7 a.m. Eastern time this morning, whatever time it is over there. I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We have that. So they're making it very ugly for the president in London. Yeah. So I am totally rooting for Croatia.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
2 o'clock, and,
But I'll play you these Sacha Baron Cohen clips and tell you more about that on the Bernie and Sid show without my boy Sidney. And we'll come back with all that stuff.
No more. more pussyfooting around.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Juliette Huddy with your entertainment report. Mamma Mia. I mean, I'm not making light of it, but we know he's doing okay. But still, video of George Clooney's scooter crash has hit the net. Oh, my God.
He should put that in a movie.
Holy moly. He's lucky to be alive. That looked really bad.
He's very lucky.
It's shocking security camera footage. It was obtained by an Italian newspaper, Corriere della Sera. And you can see a few seconds of life in an Italian intersection. It happened in Sardinia yesterday. You've got the cars and scooters and trucks going by, and then all of a sudden, a scooter pops into the screen and then immediately smashes right into a dark-colored car. The pieces of the scooter go flying, and then you see him go flying,
through
too.
The air. He could have landed in a way that killed him.
He could have been run over by another, because there were a bunch of other cars.
He landed in front of a truck.
Yeah. He was so lucky. He's 57 years old. I mean, it's not exactly like he's got strong bones anymore. The fact is, we're not 25 anymore.
He's home.
He's home, he's doing okay.
It's just a bunch of bruises.
I know. Well, that's at least what they're saying.
You're George Clooney. Get off the stupid scooter.
Get in a limo.
Get in a limo.
Get in a nice Maserati or
whatever
something.
It is, right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, his rep told people that he was treated and released from a hospital. He's recovering at home and he's going to be fine.
God bless.
All right. A newsy couple that fell in love over margaritas while working in war-torn Sarajevo more than 20 years ago are no more. This was an interesting duo. Veteran journalist Christian Amanpour and former Clinton administration employee James Rubin, State Department, I believe he was with.
That's right.
They are divorcing after...
The Clinton State Department.
Yep. Administration.
I remember this when they got married.
I remember, too, because I remember thinking, he is so good looking, and she's kind of like this stud out in the field, always in these horrible places, covering disturbing wars.
And she was not that good looking.
It was
an odd pairing.
Physically, it was an odd pairing, but also... He was always so buttoned up, and she's got the scarves, and she's always in deserts,
It was weird.
And in these crazy places.
He left to be Mr. Mom to her.
Yes.
So a couple of things, like what the hell was he thinking is what I was thinking back then.
Maybe he just had it with the Clinton administration.
I'll go marry Christiane Amanpour.
I want to go live in London and, take care of my kid.
I don't know.
Anyway.
He wasn't that good looking.
As a female, I thought he was a good looking guy. Right. That was 20
Fair
years
enough.
Ago, though. I don't know, what's going on now. But
I saw her on TV this morning.
Yeah?
She's not talking about it.
Well, this actually was reported last week, but it wasn't really getting a lot of traction, so I just decided that I'd bring it to you today. But, their wedding was back in 1998 over in Italy. They had the late JFK Jr. and wife Carolyn, celebrities and all sorts of politicos.
All the people I hate.
The late JFK Jr.
No, I didn't hate him.
Let the man rest in peace.
I did not hate the late JFK Jr.
How could
you? Matter of fact, no, I didn't really. I thought he was a good kid. He may have turned into one of these lunatic leftists today. Today, these people... They're not the same people they were 5 years ago, but whatever. He was, I met him a couple of times.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I used to see him at Ranger games, at Knick games.
Oh, my gosh.
Walking through the, through the hallways, getting a beer, whatever. He was a cool guy, regular guy.
He was just like, that was the, for me, and this was, 1990, he was physically the perfection, like the absolute perfection.
Take it easy, Juliet.
Well, he's not with us anymore, so I can say these things.
He's no James Rubin.
He gave him a run for his money.
So this was my my brush with JFK, as opposed to, not just running into him, and I didn't stop to say hello at Madison Square Garden when I saw him. But he was coming on the Imus show. We were broadcasting from the Kaufman Astoria Studios in Queens, and he came in live. He had his magazine, remember it's called
George.
So he was late. And I was the producer, whatever, and I went and met him. He took a car out, and he's like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I took him to the bathroom, and...
Please tell more.
He was in there for a while, and he comes out, and he goes, Raisin Bran and coffee, that's a bad combination.
Bernie.
I swear to God. That's verbatim. That's what he said to me.
I want to think of him with his beautiful mane of hair and just,
he was
gorgeousness.
Human. He was human.
I don't like to think of him that way. I had to cover his you know, when his plane was missing, and Fox sent me out to Bridgeport outside of Caroline Kennedy's house. Oh my God, it was like the worst experience. People were driving by us just screaming. I mean, it was us, CNN, you know, that we were just being just destroyed.
I do hate that about journalists.
I hated it. I hated every second of it.
I recall, I'll give you a quick other story. I remember when Bill Cosby, who's now hated, but his son.
Yes.
Died or somehow or was on a highway or he was killed. I don't know what happened. Whatever it was, his son was in his 20s and he died.
Yeah.
And Bill Cosby's coming out of his apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And the media is like, hey, Mr. Cosby, how do you feel?
I know.
We got to stop Mr. Cosby. The guy just lost his son, you mutt.
Well, I mean, that's the thing now. And it's only gotten worse. I mean, it's only gotten worse with paparazzi really trying to say things to you to make you upset so that you'll react so they get a great picture.
Can we get a comment on Mr. Cosby?
I know. And we were just kind of like sitting out there. I mean, you know, there were gates. You couldn't go into a property.
Were them.
I know. Well, I wasn't screaming at them, but we were just sitting there. It was horrible. I mean, people were yelling at us, you know, locals. Anyway, so that's entertainment.
Terrible.
I'm Juliet Huddy.
Terrible. Terrible. Thank you, Julia. Back on the Bernie and Sid show without my boy Sid. He'll be back tomorrow. Vacation is up. And again, we are contractually obligated to not take vacation together. So that's thus our separation. Now, London Calling. The president is, he's in Brussels as we speak. They're beginning the NATO summit at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And it's going to be, he was signaling, tweeting. He was telling all these guys, all you deadbeats, you got to come up with some money for this NATO thing, pals. It's supposed to be 2.5% of their GDP. And we pay 4% of our GDP towards NATO. And for example, Germany pays a little more than 1% of their GDP. And they're doing very well, Germany, under this Angela Merkel. As stupid as she is, but bringing in hordes and hordes of immigrants. Oh, my God. But the country in itself is an economic powerhouse. Anyway, it's not just them. It's European countries all over the place. So he's saying, you guys got to pay up. And then he's going off to London. He'll be in London tonight, I believe, tonight and tomorrow. And he's going to be meeting with a woman who may not be the prime minister for long, Theresa May. Theresa May. She's really dithering on getting out of the European Union as the Brexit vote dictated they do, and a bunch of her people quit. What do you have there, Nigel Farage? Yeah. This is what. Before I get to Sacha Baron Cohen, let's do this part. Theresa May, she's just rattled. I watch her on these British House of Commons. I'd like to say to my right honourable friend that we're working on the Brexit movement to exit. Brexit exit, and it's coming along just fine. Well, it wasn't. A bunch of people in her cabinet quit, people who were on her side because she's. It's a soft Brexit. They want to get out of the EU. They want to just a clean cut. Get us the hell out of this stupid communistic organization or whatever it is. And we stop with the open borders. That essentially, you know where that comes from, folks. I mean, it's a worldwide sentiment. But this is what Nigel Farage, he is a political leader over there. And he's also a representative from England to the EU. Listen to what he said about Theresa May.
I personally believe that the Prime Minister will be gone within the next fortnight, and then we have a chance to get a Prime Minister, a leader of the Conservative Party, that holds faith with 17.4 million voters who voted Leave in what was the greatest democratic exercise in the history of my island.
So she's in trouble. Now, a big shot who could be the next Prime Minister, this Boris Johnson. And he's a Trump lookalike. He's got his hair is all messed up. He's blonde hair. He's chubby. He's not a lookalike exactly, but, he's kind of close. He's the English version of Donald Trump.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He's the former mayor of London, and he's just off the hook, this guy. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's like President Trump. His heart, in my opinion, is in the right place. And he was tired of this Theresa May, her ineffectiveness in getting out of Brexit, which they voted for, getting out of the EU, which they voted for 2 years ago. So he quit, and Trump was singing his praises yesterday. And he didn't say a word, a nice word about Theresa May. So it's going to be a frosty, frosty meeting with her tonight. Now, the mayor, the current mayor of London, or as they call it these days, Londonistan.
Oh,
is
I did not know that.
Yes, they do. His name is Sadiq Khan, and he's just let's put it this way: he's a terrorist sympathizer, almost. Almost. He's something like that. He's a very, very soft on terror, and he's a leftist, and he hates the president. And they, in England, the first thing they're doing is this song, American Idiot. They have this song that Green Day put out, and everybody's urging people in England to download American Idiot. They want it to be the number one download this week in honor of President Trump's visit. This is how they're treating our president. Remember we had a war with these people?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we went over there in 1940? What was it? After 1941? I mean, we went over there in the 40s, and we helped them out.
Yep. And what are they doing?
They'd be goose-stepping to, they'd be speaking German in Britain if it weren't for us today. This is how they treat our president. We elected the guy, folks. So they want everybody to download American Idiot. And by the way, the Washington Post had to do a retraction yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
They said that this song was written by the Green Day because of President Bush.
Oh, give me a break.
But they were citing a publication that is related to The Onion, and they had to retract it. You idiots!
Yes.
Fake news. So they have this song. They want this song to be the number one download this week in honor of President Trump's visit. And they also have today, flying high over Parliament in Londonistan, a balloon of President Trump as a baby President Trump wearing a diaper. And the mayor of London was on. He was on with Piers Morgan on BBC. Their version of Good Morning America.
Yeah, Good Morning Britain.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
That's very clever. Good Morning Britain.
And original, right? Yeah.
I guess. But whatever. Piers Morgan, who, by the way, was, I think he was the runner-up on Celebrity Apprentice. He didn't win. Whatever. He's kind of pals with Trump. But he had Sadiq Khan, the mayor of Londonistan, and he asked him about this this disrespectful blimp and, why are you treating our president like this?
Did you personally approve this blimp of the president of the United States in a topless, in a nappy, to fly
a
Parliament? Did you personally approve it?
No, but I support the GLA and the decision they took.
So is it your responsibility
to
approve that?
There are two issues.
Yeah, so he did. The answer is yes. And there was another clip, I don't know if you have it, of him. Play that one too.
My message to Donald Trump and
okay,
his team.
Okay, stop it now. No, he said, it was Piers Morgan saying, would you have done that if it was President Obama? Wouldn't you think that would be rather disrespectful? Do you think any mayor of London would have done that, even if he was on the right to President Obama, of course? Sadiq Khan had no answer. They wouldn't do it. But it's Trump. It's Trump, right? So this is, over the years, this is what Sadiq Khan has said about the president.
My message to Donald Trump and his team is that, you know, your views of Islam are ignorant.
You know, I don't think we should be rolling out the red carpet to the president of the USA in the circumstances where his policies go against everything we stand for.
So this is what the president is facing in London with these freaking ingrate, snaggletooth, tea-sucking ingrates.
Yeah, if there's anybody who can handle it, I think it's him. So
now, the final straw is going to be the reason why I'm rooting against England today, Britain, plus the fact that they starved my people and oppressed them for centuries. I'm rooting against them in the World Cup semifinals today against Croatia. Go Croatia.
Yeah.
Zagreb, Croatia. That's the capital of Croatia.
Oh.
I think I'm going to take a trip to Zagreb if they beat the Brits today.
I'll be right behind you.
Take it easy there. Take it easy. Yes. So why are you rooting against England?
I haven't even seen them play, but I don't want them to win for some reason. I have this gut feeling.
Okay,
you know,
good. Well, I'm with you. Now, yeah. And the final straw is going to be this Sacha Baron Cohen, who actually, And he's a very funny guy. Very, very funny guy.
Yeah.
I mean, some of his stuff he's done in the past, just hilarious. I've seen some of his movies. But this impersonating a disabled United States veteran. Now, this guy's he's a Brit, too. So we'll play that coming up, what he did. And all these are good reasons to root against England in the semifinals in the World Cup today. On the Bernie and Sid Show, I'm coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. 800-848-WABC. Talk with Bernie and Sid in the morning right now. 800-848-9222. Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen.
My boy Kanye
got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. No one man should have all
that power.
The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
I know, isn't it sick that I actually like this song and I know it and scream it in my car?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kanye, so who knew? I didn't even know he was a Trump supporter back then.
He's his boy.
He's my boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kim Kardashian, I mean, the whole West family.
I mean,
now. Listen,
you heard what the clip I played of Clarence Thomas with black conservatives or and today now a black Trump supporter? This guy got death threats by fellow rappers. They're gonna kill it.
I mean, oh yeah,
it's no small thing for a prominent black person to come out and say, "Yeah, you know what? I kind of like Trump. I'm not gonna adhere to what they call the plantation mentality of the Democratic Party, where if I stray off the plantation, you know, I get crucified."
Yeah. Or so, Clarence Thomas called it. You know, it was a high-tech lynching.
Right, all right. That's because black conservatives and women conservatives. I mean, the Democrats are like, you can't do that. We're here for you. What are you doing? Well, they don't realize that people are not monoliths. They can think for themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's what pretty much Kanye's message was. But anyway, so this Sacha Baron Cohen, he's out there. He's got this, and it's a great promotion. What he's doing here is the way he's rolling it out. He punked a bunch of people, and people from not just right-wing people, all kinds of people, but Dick Cheney, first of all, play this one. He actually had Dick Cheney sign a quote-unquote waterboard kit. Listen to this.
Dick Cheney, is it possible to sign my waterboard kit?
Sure. That's a first. That's the first time I've ever signed a waterboard.
but he did it anyway. That's funny. So, he's got this big thing, Showtime, July 15th. And now it turns out, though, that he actually, Showtime, they invited Sarah Palin to come to Washington, D.C. to do an interview about veterans. And she actually obliged. She got on a plane from Alaska, flew to Washington, D.C. And Sacha Baron Cohen rolls in looking like a veteran. And I say rolls in because he's in a wheelchair. And he sits there with a bunch of apparently awkward questions, you know, designed to garner laughs or whatever the hell it is, and pretending to be a disabled veteran. And she caught on, ripped the microphone off after a while, but she says she was there for a long time. And she says, out of respect for what I was led to believe would be a thoughtful discussion with someone who had served in uniform, I sat through a long interview of Hollywoodism's disrespect and sarcasm, finally had enough, ripped off my mic, et cetera, et cetera. So she goes on to say, mock politicians and innocent public personalities all you want if that lets you sleep at night. But how dare you mock those who have fought and served our country? Truly sick. And she herself has a son who served in Iraq. Now, the left, of course, they hate Sarah Palin. Again, a female conservative like Clarence Thomas. I mean, he's a black conservative. In other words, they really, really go out of their way to hate the female conservatives. As you may have noticed with the female Trump supporters and the people who work for Trump, the females, they get the brunt, it seems, of all the backlash. But so they got her. Now, they also, Sacha Baron Cohen is claiming that he got President Trump as well. There's some hint that he's got him. Now, back in 2003, He did. He was doing Ali G. Remember Ali G?
The Ali G show, man.
He was mocking like the W word that rhymes with diggers. He was he was mocking those kind of people. And it was pretty funny. But he was pretending to be a businessman with Trump. And he was talking about, ice, selling him ice cream gloves or something
gloves,
like that.
Ice cream gloves. Now,
he only had Trump. He had a bunch of business people for like 10 minutes each or whatever. But he only had Trump for a little more than 90 seconds. And this is how that went.
I've got some business idea that I just want to tell you about. And I'll be a fool if...
Very quickly.
What is the most popular thing in the world?
Music.
No.
Tell me.
Ice cream.
Okay.
Everyone has it. And what is the problem with ice cream?
I have no idea.
It drips.
Okay.
So my idea is what?
To make a drip-proof ice cream.
No. Brilliant idea, this. All right, whatever. You ain't going to come out with that, though.
No, I promise you I won't.
Well, my idea is to come out with just like these ice cream gloves that make the ice cream not go on your hands and make it all well sticky. And also keep your hands warm when you was eating the ice cream.
Okay.
Is you win or is you win?
Okay, well, it sounds like a good idea, and I hope you make a lot of money. Good luck, folks. It's been nice seeing you. You take care of yourself.
And he walked
out.
So he got up and he left. He smelled a ruse, whatever, obviously. But not other business people, not so much. Now, so Ali G did that to Sacha Baron Cohen, did that to Trump, and Trump afterwards put out this videotape slamming Ali G, Sacha Baron Cohen. Take a listen.
This third-rate character named Sacha Baron Cohen, I only wish that he would have been punched in the face so many times right now. He'd be in a hospital. It was disgraceful. He ought to be fired immediately. Sacha Baron Cohen, go to school. Learn about being funny. You don't know.
So that's Sacha Baron Cohen's version of what Trump said with the music and all that stuff. But he did that on his own without the music. And he says, go to school and learn to be funny. And then a graphic comes up and says, Sasha graduates soon. So implying that he got Trump in this year-long campaign to punk celebrities. Who, by the way, he's got Ted Koppel and other people in there. And sounds interesting. But this is the reason why I'm rooting against England today. One of the reasons. Look, Governor Cuomo's a perv. He's got a Me Too problem, believe it or not. And also, we have next hour coming up, we have Alan Dershowitz. We also have Anthony Scaramucci. We have the comedian Rita Rudner. You remember her from the Johnny Carson show. She's still out there. On the Bernie and Sid Show without my boy Sidney, we're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Don't know what we will find.
Why don't you come with me, little girl,
on a magic carpet ride? Well,
little girl, on the Bernie and Sid Show. Sydney's last day off. He's back tomorrow, thank God. Sydney and Jill both back tomorrow, both on vacation. Again, we're contractually obligated to take off separate days. We cannot take off together. So, therefore, me here and Sid there, wherever the hell he is. But look forward to having him back tomorrow. Now, we're going to talk to, the famed attorney, Alan Dershowitz, this hour. He's like a wanted man on Martha's Vineyard where he summers. He's actually an outcast, a pariah. They hate his guts because the same talking points that he used to defend President Clinton when he was being investigated by a special counsel, the same principles that he used back then, he's using now to defend President Trump, who's under investigation by a special counsel. They loved him then, they hate him now. And he's going to talk about that. He's been shunned out in Martha's Vineyard, reduced to sitting on his front porch drinking six packs of Bud Light or something. I don't know. Nobody will talk to him. And not only that, people want to physically injure him. So he's coming on this hour. Then we're going to speak to Anthony Scaramucci next hour. And also the comedian Rita Rudner is coming on. You remember her. She's funny, man. That lady is funny. She's doing a stand-up act here in the New York area. I'll tell you where. But the thing about the president, though, this guy has a knack. You have this thing on immigration, Matt Meany? This guy has a knack for cutting to the heart of an issue. He really does. I mean, some activist judge, he imposed some artificial deadline for the government to reunite kids and parents that were separated after these parents decided to sneak into this country illegally. And by law, they had to be separated. But there was an outcry. Trump signed an executive order. And he says, you know what? We won't separate the parents. All right? And so they're trying to reunite them. And some judge, again, set this deadline yesterday. And a lot of the kids were not reunited with the parents. And the Department of Justice put out a statement saying there's a bunch of reasons for that. Logistical. And the fact that some of the parents have criminal records. And some have already been deported. So whatever it is, it just hasn't happened yet, all right? I mean, things don't happen overnight. And by the way, whenever they talk about these stories, the news, the fake news people, they always put, they show you the pictures of the kids where they were detained as soon as they were separated from the parents at the border, wearing those aluminum jackets behind a fence. I mean, they were there for what, maybe a day, hours, a day or something like that before they were moved to more permanent facilities, in which they stayed in these permanent facilities, on average, about a month or two, and then were supposed to go with relatives, and who knows, Bayshore, Long Island, Brentwood, or wherever else around the country. But because of the outcry, they're being reunited with their parents, and they're being put in detention with their parents instead of with, you know, Uncle Jose out in Suffolk County. Okay, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do. So that's what they're doing. They haven't done it all yet. But they show them, again, in these temporary facilities, which they're not in. They've been moved to more, just nicer facilities, essentially, which, by the way, look nothing like Auschwitz, despite what all these people screaming. They're, you know, keeping them in camps and concentration camps. No. Nice places with people who feed. They get three meals a day, nice beds. They get to kick around a soccer ball, watch TV, and play video games. So the concentration camps, the Auschwitz comparisons, of course, as has been said, very, very offensive, but it doesn't stop the people. Everything is now is Nazi concentration camps. That's what it is. But anyway, as far as missing the deadline, this is what the president said. As he was leaving, he was heading for the helicopter to go to get on the plane, Air Force One, to fly out to Brussels, where he is now, meeting with the NATO people. But this is what he said on missing the deadline.
Well, I have a solution. Tell people not to come to our country illegally. That's the solution. Don't come to our country illegally. Come like other people do. Come legally. I'm saying this very simply. We have laws. We have borders. Don't come to our country illegally.
I mean, it's so simple.
It's blunt.
But it's so simple, it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the parents decided to up and drag their kids through the Mexican deserts, take these train rides with coyotes and child rapers and traffickers and all that stuff. And that is the solution. If you want to come, apply for asylum, you can do that. First of all, you do that in the first country you go to. If you go from El Salvador, the next country you go to, that's where you apply. Okay, let's say Mexico. That's where you apply. You don't come. But in this case, they either sneak over the border because they're not eligible for asylum. I mean, domestic abuse and gang violence is not one of the reasons why you can apply for asylum. Whatever. Anyway, you got to love the bluntness. Now, on that note, well, let me just get to Governor Cuomo here. Governor Cuomo, he's this guy's a real winner. He's just a dunce. He sounds like a dunce, and he is a dunce. He's getting trounced. He's getting smacked around by this Cynthia Nixon lady who's a complete wackadoo, but it's great to see when you have a guy like Cuomo having to run to the left and defend himself against somebody on the left. He actually says, I'm a feminist because I have three daughters. Play that clip. You have that?
Kish James says I'm a feminist, and she's right. God told me I was a feminist when he gave me three daughters.
Well, Cynthia Nixon says, how come? Why don't you just defend us as women, as human beings, not because you have three daughters, you knuckle-dragging animal, you? I mean, she said something like that. It was really, it's just funny. It's just funny to see when they turn on each other, it's great. And Governor Cuomo, he has a history of really saying stupid things. Play Governor Andrew Cuomo 9. Listen to this.
I hope she does something really, really, really big. Hillary Clinton is so good that whatever she does, she's going to be an overwhelming success.
Give me a break.
Didn't quite work out. Then play Cuomo 5.
I'm an Italian-American. I came from poor Italian-Americans who came here. You know what they called Italian-Americans? Back in the day, they called them WOPs. You know what WOP stood for? Without papers.
Well, that's a myth. Actually, originally, it's guapo. It's the Italian word guapo, which is like a swaggering thug. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have that misconception, I guess. And then Governor Cuomo, 7. Play this guy.
I'm undocumented. You want to deport an undocumented person? Start with me, because I'm an undocumented person.
He was born in Queens. His father was the governor of New York State. What the hell is he talking about? And, of course, who can forget back in the day when his daddy was running for mayor of New York against Ed Koch? Andrew Cuomo came up with the phrase, vote for Cuomo, not the homo. Andrew Cuomo came up with that phrase, yes. And now there's a tape of him. Actually, they're in a cafeteria somewhere. This happened, I don't know, weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago. And he says to a woman is walking by with a sausage sandwich. And he screams out, I'd like to see you eat that whole sausage in one bite or something like that. Listen to what he said.
Oh, no. I want to see you eat the whole sausage.
I don't know if I should eat the whole sausage in front of you, but I'm definitely going to eat it.
There you go. He's got a hashtag Me Too problem. Governor Cuomo, the dunce. This guy's an idiot. He really is.
Nah, he's not very smart. I think him being the governor for so long, he's kind of got complacent and really hasn't been that sharp.
But I got to tell you, though, guys like Cuomo and Hillary Clinton, compared to the radical leftists that are emerging today, these psychos, these nut jobs, these people, I mean, they're trying to, they're running to the left. They're becoming as bad as them. But, I mean, it's getting worse out there. It's getting worse for the Democratic Party. Abolish ICE, open borders, and this, you know, cozying up to Louis Farrakhan, the Jew hater.
Which Keith Ellison will never admit.
No, Keith Ellison, the leaders of the Women's March, none of them will admit it, but they're cozying up to Louis Farrakhan, doing all kinds of crazy things. They just out of their minds. And by the way, Governor Cuomo's the guy. The importance of electing people who will appoint the right judges, not only on a presidential level, but on a gubernatorial level. It's Governor Cuomo who appointed the parole board, who decided that it was a good idea to release, and now we're up to 2 cop killers. 2. Governor Cuomo. That's Governor Cuomo releasing cop killers and then appointed the judges who said that it was okay for the parole board to release cop killers. Governor Cuomo's not a very bright guy. Not a very bright guy, this Governor Cuomo. Play Governor Cuomo 8. Just, you know, for laughs.
Getting hit by a train is never fun.
No, it's not there,
no,
Andrew.
Getting hit by a train doesn't work. It hurts.
No, and that was him, you know, he controls the MTA, and that was from when, somebody got hit by a train, obviously, and that was the whole battle of fixing the subways. Who's you know, him and de Blasio going back and forth, pointing fingers. Who should fix the subways? It's just...
Yeah, whatever. He just says stupid things like... he sounds stupid. Remember the Times Square bomber? I think it was last summer. Listen, Cuomo 11. Play this one.
The bomb partially detonated. He did detonate it, but it did not fully have the effect that he was hoping for.
He did detonate it, but he did not blow anybody's arms or legs off. That's a good thing, because that hurts. It's never fun to have a bomb blow your legs off. Never fun. On the Bernie and Sid show, just you know, a little silly fun at Andy's expense. This guy who laid down in the street with those high school kids after Parkland, flopping around like a clown. I mean, it's embarrassing. But we have no democracy in New York State is dead. These are the only people that get elected, the Blasios and the Cuomos of the world. And next is going to be the Cynthia Nixons, I'm sorry to say. But anyway, on the Bernie and Sid show, Alan Dershowitz is going to join me here in about less than 20 minutes.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Juliet with your entertainment report. It seems a smash hit by a rap legend has inspired the fashion world.
Palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already.
Mob spaghetti. Yep, a collaboration between fashion label Rag & Bone. They often kind of hook up with big celebs. And Eminem hit a London pop-up shop on Friday. It's going to hit a pop-up shop on Friday. And it's happening there in advance of his final show of his European leg of his revival tour. But then items including T-shirts and hoodies will go on sale on the label's website starting July 14th, ranging from, Bernie, I know you're going to love this part, $95 to $250 for T-shirts and hoodies by Eminem.
Oh, that's nice. That's great.
Do they come with a private performance, perhaps, by Eminem himself?
When you rip them off, just... what we used to do is we kept the price tag on it just as a boast to say, hey, stole this.
That's what you do. Okay, well, interestingly, yeah. It's funny that you bring that up because they're said to include drawings and lyrics or simple Eminem-ish words related to different times in his career. This is a limited edition, so it's not going to be up there for long. Each piece will be numbered. So I guess the steep prices basically are a suggestion that you're going to be a collector and not a wearer of said items. And if you haven't heard, Jada Pinkett Smith, who is, of course, married to Will Smith, has been engaged in some pretty provocative chit-chat lately. It's all part of her Facebook Watch series called Red Table Talk.
What's the deal with that? I have heard about this.
It's just a way for her to kind of talk about life. But I've seen a couple snippets of it. I mean, she's very candid. I mean...
Yes, I understand. It's some people think it's a little bit of a TMI.
Talking
about sex with her daughter and stuff like that?
You know, yeah. I mean, but it's interesting. I mean, there are interesting things about it. And I mean, I always like authentic people who kind of come out and say, you know.
I like her.
Talk about their life.
She's a beautiful woman.
She is. But she candidly and often graphically discusses everything from her sexual peccadillos to in front of her kids.
She's not getting paid for any of this.
It's just kind of her thing. Like, here's get to know me. But anyway, she was talking about, in this latest one, she talks about how she had several addictions and she continues to struggle with addictions and she kind of bounces from one addiction to the next. She says she had a sex addiction when she was younger, feeling like everything could be fixed by sex. She also says she struggled with alcohol, drinking by herself at her house, having to sometimes reaching for a third bottle of wine. But, you know, she was like, look, that's hitting rock bottom. I knew it was time to stop. But it was her mother, actually, who was on this episode. Sometimes, you know, she co-hosts with her daughter, who really came clean. Her name is Adrienne Banfield Jones, and she often, again, co-hosts the show. But this time she spoke for the first time publicly about her own 20-year addiction to heroin.
Her mother.
And this is kind of the little wrap-up to the end of the show.
Exactly. Sometimes it's hard for me to even really talk about our journey together because it's not believable.
I know.
And I'm always so freaking grateful because we made it.
Right.
Well, you know, I kind of like that because it's, you know, you're showing that sometimes you grow up in crazy, chaotic relationships, having these insane parents and, you know, or one parent that's nuts or maybe no parents around. And it just shows, you know, they've stuck together, this mom-daughter relationship. It's pretty
that
inspiring.
Nice.
And it's kind of cool.
And usually with daughters, because there was in fact, I should pull this up, a poll that millennials these days... overwhelmingly, they want to have sons as opposed to daughters.
Why is that, did they say?
They didn't really come up with a reason.
Well, every time I talk to my parents who have kids that are turning 12 and their daughters, they're like, my child hates me. I hate my child.
Yeah, no, yes, but the thing about daughters is they always come around. Well, for the most part, they come around.
They
and they make better adult children than the guys.
Well, I don't know. If you look at my brother and me, yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Thank you, Juliet. Want a little cake, folks? Who doesn't like cake? You know, I'm going to speak to
I'm so sick of you, so sick of me. I don't want to be with you. I'm so sick of you.
She reminds me, I don't know why,
so
poor Bill Clinton.
Me, I don't want to be with you. I want to kill myself.
She may be running for president, man.
Oh,
again. You got her, Bernie, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and then you have the like the dunce Andrew Cuomo. Even De Blasio's got it in the back of his head.
How about
Kamala Harris?
Yeah.
And my dark horse candidate for 2020 is going to be the future governor of California. His name is Gavin Newsom. That's my dark horse candidate.
I like it. I've heard good things about the guy.
Well, he's a good politician. He's all wrong on everything. But,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
And he's helping to ruin California. But if you're a leftist, he's got the he's got the looks and he's slick and all that stuff. So anyway, that's the guy who I think will emerge out of this swamp, this cesspool of losers. Kamala Harris being one of them. And you know what? Just quickly before we go to break, play this Kamala Harris, Richard Blumenthal montage one on this on how Judge Kavanaugh is going to ruin this country. Just take a listen to these.
If you are a young woman in America, or you care about a young woman in America, pay attention to this because it will forever change your life.
Here is a memo to the Parkland students. Judge Kavanaugh is your worst nightmare.
These people, it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. And they've said that so many times. They cried wolf so many times. Nobody believes them anymore. Nobody believes. And by the way, Richard Blumenthal has been all over the place. Folks, this is a man who went around the state as attorney general and told people that he was a Vietnam combat veteran. He said that on multiple occasions. He told people when he thought it wouldn't come out. And it did when he ran for senator, but he thought it was on the DL. I served in combat in Vietnam. The man never left the United States. That type of lying, that type of character flaw should be fatal politically. They still elected him senator of Connecticut.
Yeah, at least Brian Williams was in a helicopter.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right. Bingo.
And for Blumenthal to say that this guy is going to be the Parkland students' worst nightmares, are you kidding me? The worst nightmares and what they went through? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous.
And who was there was a guy, the last mass shooter, the journalist in Baltimore, he used a shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody cared about that.
It's not his whole rifle. Yeah,
forget about it. Hey, listen, I'm going to talk to Alan Dershowitz right after these commercial folks. He's got a beef with Joe Scarborough, and he's being, a woman threatened to stab him on Martha's Vineyard. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new show, Mischief and More. 77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. My boy Sydney out on vacation today. He'll be back tomorrow. On the line with us right now, we have a very esteemed gentleman, a lawyer, academic, constitutional law, criminal law. He defended O.J. Simpson, for God's sakes, and he's a brilliant guy. Alan Dershowitz, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I could be a lot worse. Great to have you, Alan Dershowitz. Listen, your new book is called The Case Against Impeaching Trump. And you've been all over the place, and, taking a lot of heat, I would add.
Well, you know, I wrote a book that's a very principled book. I would have written the same exact book if Hillary Clinton had been elected president and she were being impeached or prosecuted. It's about how the Constitution demands that you follow it, and that to impeach somebody, you have to prove an actual crime. You can't talk about vague things like collusion or obstruction or we don't like the president. And people, a lot of people are very, very upset with my book because it ends up, they say, giving President Trump a tool with which to defend himself. Now, I didn't do it for that reason any more than I would have done it if Hillary Clinton had been elected. And so, you know, I'm a neutral, objective, nonpartisan civil libertarian, and I'm always going to write what I believe the Constitution requires. And so the case against impeaching Trump is a readable, short, pithy constitutional analysis of why you can't impeach a president unless you can prove that he committed an actual crime while in office.
Did you think Alan Dershowitz back during in the 90s, do you think that they had a case for impeaching President Clinton?
Well, he did commit a crime, according to the charges, a perjury, but was it a high crime? The Constitution says high crime. I think what he did was a pretty low crime. I mean, it was about his sex life. It was about what went on in private and trying to protect his family and his wife by perhaps stretching the truth. So it was a crime, but it may not have been the kind of crime. In fact, the book, I tell a story similar to that. Alexander Hamilton, who wrote the provision about impeachment, he was the guy who actually drafted it. He had an affair with a married woman, and then the husband extorted him, and he paid the extortion. But he denied that he paid the money out of government funds. Had he paid the money out of government funds, it would be a high crime. But having an affair and paying an extortion probably was a low crime. So it's those kinds of distinctions that the framers had in mind.
Right. So, perjury, even though it was for his for personal reasons, you don't think that's high enough. If it was perjury, say, I don't know, that involved national security, then
of
that
course,
would be...
No doubt, no doubt. And Nixon, of course, did commit impeachable offenses because he paid hush money, he told his associates to lie to the FBI, he destroyed evidence. Those are all real obstructions of justice, whereas Trump fired Comey. He's entitled to fire Comey.
Yeah.
If you do something that's within your constitutional powers, that can't be an act of criminal conduct, regardless of what your motive may have been. I make that argument in the book. It's very controversial. People have been furious at me for making the argument. In fact, as a joke, we printed another cover, in addition to the regular cover, a brown paper cover that people can put on the book if they want to walk around Martha's Vineyard reading the book and not be criticized and attacked for helping Trump. So we're producing the brown paper cover version for Martha's Vineyard and other places where the people don't tolerate dissenting points of view.
That is funny. Hey, listen, I love anybody who loves and can allude and refer to history, the Maria Reynolds affair with Hamilton. I mean, Ron Chernow's book about Hamilton, on which
brilliant.
The play is based, just brilliant. I mean, that guy, Hamilton, lived one hell of a life. Fascinating stuff. But anyway, Alan Dershowitz, the book is The Case Against Impeaching Trump. And you mentioned Martha's Vineyard. Now, you have said that they're treating you terribly out there at Martha's Vineyard. Of course, that is like that's where all the leftist elitists go for vacation. Yeah, Obama went there. Bill Clinton went there. That's where Obama bought the book for Monica Lewinsky, Leaves of Grass, at a bookstore there, as a matter of fact. But you said, Alan Dershowitz, that a woman actually at a party threatened to stab you in the heart or something like that?
Well, she said to a friend, if Dershowitz were here, I'd stab him in the heart. And then somebody else said, if you allow Dershowitz to speak at the film festival this year, we're not going to support the film festival. We're probably talking about a few handfuls of people. But, you know, small-minded, intolerant. And these are parents of kids who then go off to college. And in college, you hear the same thing. We don't want to hear diverse points of view. If we disagree with it, we're offended by it. Shut down the marketplace of ideas. Well, I won't accept that. I'm going to keep talking.
Good for
I'm
you.
Doing an event on Martha's Vineyard. Today I'm doing a signing, book signing, at Barnes & Noble in Union Square. If people want to hear anything about the book or buy it, they can come there.
What time? What time, Alan?
I wish I knew. I don't know, but in the evening.
Okay. Barnes & Noble in the evening in Union Square, folks. New York City. Go check out Alan Dershowitz. Yes. So, yeah. Essentially, they want to just shut you up. They don't want to engage in a debate on the issues. It's just shut up. You're a racist. You're complicit. That's what you are. You're complicit.
Well, one guy wrote a letter to me saying I was just like the intellectuals who helped Hitler come to power because I'm complicit with somebody like Hitler.
Right.
This is a serious intellectual who wrote that to me, and I think he believes it. He believes
Unbelievable.
It. But, you know, that's the kind of attitude I'm facing. But, you know, I'm winning the fight up there because people don't want intolerance. True liberals don't want to see intolerance. It's mostly the radicals of the hard left that want to close down debate.
But everybody seems intimidated by them. Everybody seems to be towing that line because they're afraid. Like, for example, Chuck Schumer, he has people protesting outside his house, outside his office, and he seems to cave to the irrational nutcakes out there.
Well, we all have to stand up to protest, but when it's violent protests, when you get Moore saying we have to use our body, or Waters saying that we have to harass people, that really crosses the line. And organizations like Antifa, or people like Cynthia Nixon, who is running for governor, my God, she calls ICE a terrorist organization, and at the same time, she supports boycotting Israel and preventing it from fighting real terrorism. She doesn't understand the difference between ICE and ISIS. This is a woman who belongs not in politics, but, you know, on a TV show. But she's trying to get the Democratic nomination.
She's dragging Andrew Cuomo to the left as well, making him do and say crazy things. And she was the first person, a serious, kind of serious person, running for governor of New York, not to attend the Israel Day parade here in New York City.
So she's very anti-Israel. She's supporting the BDS movement, which is anti-Semitic. When you single out only one country in the world, the nation state of the Jewish people, for boycott, I also wrote a book on that, The Case Against BDS, in which I show that the origin of the BDS movement is in Nazi Germany and in the Arab boycott of Israel, and that its goal is not to change Israeli policy, but to abolish Israel and make sure it doesn't exist. And she has supported boycotting Israel and only Israel. She doesn't support boycotting Cuba or Iran or any of the other really, really bad countries in the world, but Israel, not good for Cynthia Nixon. So, you know, if you like Israel, you should not like Cynthia Nixon.
Alan Dershowitz on the line on the Bernie and Sid Show. The book is The Case Against Impeaching Trump. And that seems to be the flow of the Democratic Party. The Women's March, by the way, is led by people who are firmly in that boycott Israel camp. The Women's March organizers, this one woman that runs it, Tamika Mallory, she goes to Farrakhan rallies. Keith Ellison, he's a defender of. It seems to be the way that the modern Democratic Party is going, and it's kind of head scratching. It's kind of scary.
Look, the conservatives did a good job of ridding themselves of the real extreme anti-Semitic right. The Democrats, the liberals, me. We haven't done as good a job in getting rid of the anti-Semites and the anti-Israel people on the hard left. And if the Democratic Party is going to have any chance, they have to clean house and make sure that they marginalize people like Cynthia Nixon. If she gets elected governor of New York, that's the end of any Democratic hope for winning elections in the future, I think.
Absolutely right. They're committing a political suicide, no doubt. Let me ask you this. Alan Dershowitz, did the FBI conspire, do you think, to exonerate Hillary Clinton and to set up our president?
Not the FBI, but there are elements within the FBI. Look, there were people in the FBI who were very anti-Clinton. There were people in the FBI who were very anti-Trump. They're all wrong. You should not have politics. The thumb of the FBI or any of its agents should not be on the scale. Even the pinky should not be on the scale. But I don't think that Strzok represented the entire FBI or the entire Justice Department.
Well, what about McCabe, Comey, and Lynch?
Well, you know, those are serious issues that have to be explored. But there were people on the other side. I don't think you can say the FBI.
Okay, but the leaders, the top investigators.
The end result was that Comey probably helped Trump get elected president he thought Hillary Clinton was going to be elected, and he was trying to defend his own reputation by leaning over backwards to favor, to hurt Clinton. He didn't think it would hurt her, and it ended up, perhaps, we'll never know, having an impact on the election. So he's not going to have a happy place in the history of this country, in the history of elections. That's why I wanted a neutral, nonpartisan commission instead of a special counsel to investigate the entire 2016 election.
Russian influence, Comey influence, FBI influence. I think we made a mistake by appointing a special counsel instead of a neutral, objective, nonpartisan commission that could get us the facts in an unbiased way.
Right, and so far, though, they've even being as partisan as they are, the Ken Mueller investigation, they found no evidence of collusion, which, by the way, you say is not even a crime. But it's they have poor this guy Paul Manafort. He's in solitary confinement, for God's sakes.
Well, I've been opposed to that, as I'm opposed to the confinement of poor people, of minority people. If you know, the idea that you can be in jail before you've been convicted of any crime and put in jail under those circumstances, he should be given a bracelet, allowed to stay at home. He's not going anywhere. The same thing should be true of poor people around New York City who are sent to Rikers. They could easily be braceleted. It'll cost a little bit of money, but that's worth it. Freedom is a very valuable commodity. And the idea of taking people's freedoms away before they're convicted of any crime is really a terrible thing.
Last question, Alan Dershowitz. The book is The Case Against Impeaching Trump. Yeah. On a related note, Harvey Weinstein, he's got three rape charges against him. He's out on bail. He's going to all the trendy restaurants. He's hanging out, having a good time. If the aforementioned young black man had, or white blue-collar guy, had three essentially rape charges against him, he wouldn't be walking around out on bail. Do you think bail should be proportionate to what your net worth is?
Well, first of all, I consulted with Ben Brockman on one aspect of the Weinstein case, so I'm not objective or neutral. Harvey Weinstein should be out on bail, but so should people, poor people, be out on bail. He's not going anywhere. He's the most famous, infamous, notorious, well-known face in the world. He's going to show up for trial, and we'll see what happens at the trial. Presumption of innocence prevails, regardless of what you think of the person or what you think of the charges. Let's not rush to judgment, no matter who the person is.
Okay, Alan Dershowitz, listen, thanks for appearing, and good luck, Godspeed, sure. And be safe out there in Martha's Vineyard, man.
I will try my best. Look, the book's doing very well. It was 21 this morning on the Amazon list of all bestsellers for every book, so people are interested in it, and if anybody wants to read it and wants to argue with me, hey, I welcome a good civil argument, but no name calling.
The Case Against Impeaching Trump is the name of the book, Barnes & Noble, today at Union Square tonight. Go check out Alan Dershowitz. Thank you, sir. Good luck.
My pleasure. Thank you.
On the Bernie and Sid Show, we'll come right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests. Great stories. Great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long. And Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Don't think tits, think pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn.
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show. Papa been school since days of underwear. Poor Biggie. Biggie is outie. Hey, listen, on the line with us, right? Sydney's not here today. It's his last day of vacation. He's back tomorrow. Contractually, folks, they won't let Sydney and I vacation together. Or at the same time, I should put it that way, because we're flying solo at certain times, and today's one of those days. Hey, on the line with us right now, he needs no introduction, but I'll give him one. American financier, entrepreneur, and political consultant. He was the White House communications director for a while. Anthony Scaramucci is on the line with us. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, Bernie. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Happy summer.
Yeah,
what's going on in NATO? Huh? He's dropping bunker buster bombs already, right? You gotta
love it. Yes,
he's definitely in fuego this morning. So, but I mean, I just want to start with one thing. You know what he's saying about Germany. No one said about Germany, but it's been the unspoken secret about Germany.
Are you talking about the gas line?
Yeah, well, it's the combination of the gas line and the fact that they're saying one thing about Russia and then they do another thing. But it's also, if you go back to the Iraq War, the Bush administration was upset with them. They were building nuclear infrastructure and bunkers for the Iraqis. You know, And so, I mean, they don't contribute to NATO at the level that they should. They're blaming it on their reunification, which took place 28, 29 years ago. And they do say that George Herbert Walker Bush gave them a pass on that. But they know they've been under the line, and they've also accepted a subsidy through the euro, where they've become this fantastic exporting nation by getting a 20% discount using the euro in its fixed exchange mechanism, as opposed to just having the Deutschmark out there, which would have slowed down their export economy. So the president's right. I just think that the problem is, by hitting them as hard as he's hitting them, he's putting their political leaders in a bad position where he's not giving them enough. They can't move in the ring. If he wants to knock them out, that's one thing. But my guess is you probably just want to hit him a few times and get him to come on your side,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, listen. I like what he's doing is fantastic. I mean, pay up, pay your fair share. Forget the excuses. The German economy is doing very well, as you know, Anthony. Right?
No. Listen, the German economy is doing very well. They instituted labor reforms. Gerhard Schroeder put those in 2004 and 2005. They've got the benefit of the euro, which is subsidizing their export economy. They're the only Western nation that actually has a budget surplus. So all of those things, okay, put them in a position where they should be telling the president, you know what, we're going at 2%, we're getting there in a hurry. But what I'm worried about is the rhetoric is so tough, Berm, okay? And you maybe you've been in this situation. I know I've certainly been in a situation in my life. You could be wrong about something, that someone's hitting you in a way where, you know, she's got to stay elected and she's got to hold her government together. And I'm sure the German people are sore at the president for hitting her and that government as hard as he is. So excuse me, it's an interesting dynamic. But I mean, he is right on the facts, though. And so it'll be very interesting to see how this thing unfolds over the next 3 or 4 months.
Anthony, are you saying that maybe he's talking too tough? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, you know, it's that's his personality. So he's not going to change, Bernie. You and I know him long enough to know that he's not going to change. But what I am saying is he's not giving their political leaders, they're not business leaders. And so he's not giving them enough room to move around on the rink with them. You know, because what happens is you're hitting them so hard, their political consultants are saying, well, you got to hit back because otherwise you're going to lose the government here. Everybody has a little bit of national pride. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I got you. No, understood.
Even if they're wrong on something, you know, you've got your constituents who are going to say, hey, hit them back. You know,
right,
don't let them
hit
you like that in a national setting or international setting. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, so, I do. I understand where you're coming from, but they do seem to be coming around to a certain extent, so he's having some success. And
no,
I would
listen, without him, and this is the people need to understand this, without him, the laxity of those public servants in Washington, they would have let this go on for another 10
right.
or 15 years. And when you're running a $22 trillion budget deficit, you can't do that. You know, so he's definitely right. I mean, if he modified the style a little bit, he might be able to get there a little faster. That's my only.
Very interesting, Anthony Scaramucci. Yeah. Listen, you know what I would do is I would whip out the 20th century World War II card. I would say, A, to Germany, listen, remember the Marshall Plan? You guys were in ruins, and we rebuilt you to the point where you're you're an economic superpower. And I would say to the rest of Europe, you'd all be speaking German if it wasn't for us. Now pay your damn fair share. I mean, let's not forget that we did that less than 100 years ago, about 80, 70 years ago.
Yeah, so 75 years ago, let's just tell our listeners, okay, $13.7 billion of that money at that time, which was about $170 billion today, to just give you the magnitude of what that is. But if you really want to take it off a percentage of U.S. GDP, it's about $800 billion. Okay, so this was a gigantic amount of money that was spent across Europe to fortify and rebuild, reindustrialize Europe.
The Marshall Plan.
Correct, to protect them against communism. And so,
right.
So there's a legacy here where the United States really did use its industrial power to rebuild the world and create the world order after the Second World War. I think what the president's critics are saying is, well, he's tearing that down. His proponents would say, actually, he's not tearing it down. What he's asking them to do is to start to contribute the way the United States has. And so that's where I think that we've got to go in that direction and explain it to people that way. But he's right, Bernie, and that's the That's the bottom line on this.
Yes, and then he goes tonight, I believe, he goes over to London, where at least tonight or tomorrow, where they have a blimp of a baby Trump in a diaper. I mean, this is the kind of disrespect that we're getting for our president. Again, they'd be speaking German if not for us. And they also have, they're imploring their residents on the UK to download a song called American Idiot as a some sort of insult to the president's trip there. I mean, well, these people, you know, I mean, come on. I don't know, Anthony. I'm offended by it. Call me a snowflake.
You might be a snowflake, but down deep, I know that you're not a snowflake. But let me tell you who's not a snowflake, and I don't care how hot the heat gets in the kitchen, is the president, okay? Despite all of the rhetoric about him, this guy is the toughest person I've ever met in my life, and he's got the toughest skin of anybody that I've ever met. So it doesn't matter to him. I mean, he'll go there, he'll do that. I just think it's interesting that they think that that's an okay thing to do, but yet they're suppressing free speech in other parts of their country.
Excellent point. So
you've got this Tommy Robinson situation going on where they won't let him speak freely, but let's run up a diaper caricature of the president and a blimp. That's okay. So there's a lot of hypocrisy going on over there.
It's so true. You know, a lot of people, I'm sure, don't know what you're talking about. Tommy Robinson was sort of an anti-Muslim activist, and he was exposing some of the crimes that happened in the Muslim communities, and they locked him up. He's in jail. They won't let him speak. They wouldn't let him put out his online or, you know, expose this this type of behavior. And so they just locked him up.
Well, I mean, that level of free speech suppression, again, he wasn't calling for violence. It wasn't like yelling fire in a movie theater. We know there's exceptions to our own free speech. But all he was doing is was explaining what was going on over there. They were afraid that was going to lead to a riot. They suppressed his free speech.
Yeah.
So the question before the London mayor was, what are we going to do here about this blimp? No, the blimp's no problem, but his free speech needs to be suppressed. So again, you're getting a lot of hypocrisy exposed in that system.
Anthony Scaramucci on the Bernie and Sid Show. Anthony Scaramucci, by the way, who knows what time it is? I can tell you that he's a smart guy. Listen, Anthony, the latest, of course, this Brett Kavanaugh. He's not Brett. I'm sorry. That's actually anyway. The Kavanaugh. He's appointed to the Supreme Court, and they're just losing their minds. It's the end of the world as we know it, said Nina Totenberg on NPR radio. I mean, what do you think of the mass hysteria, the fake outrage? Do you think they're crying wolf too many times, these liberals?
Yeah, I think they're crying wolf too many times, but I mean, you know, our friend Bernie Kerik, okay, was like, this guy Terry McAuliffe's out of his mind. I mean, why are these guys going so crazy, even the moderate Democrats related to him? You know, he's been on the appellate court. He's a brilliant jurist. He was literally Justice Kennedy's pick to replace him. So I don't get, if Justice Kennedy was acceptable, how could Brett Kavanaugh, his aide, his person that clerked for him, with that level of pedigree and those levels of opinions, that they could read through to see that he's a very balanced, open-minded guy, how is he not acceptable? If Justice Kennedy at age 80 wants to come off the court and is hand-selecting alongside of the president his successor. So it's just really weird to me.
It is weird.
That we're in a society now where we're going bonkers on each other. I think at the end of the day, it's the Garland situation where President Obama had 8 months left to go in his term, and Mitch McConnell basically blocked him from getting that gentleman on the court. So I think that's what's got them crazy. It reminds me, Bernie, of the Bush versus Gore situation. After President Bush won that scrum, the Democrats went crazy. They were literally setting their hair on fire. But by the way, I think their hair is still burning, even from that issue 17, 18 years ago.
No doubt about it. I love the historical perspective that you get from Anthony Scaramucci. I really do. Listen, Trump did put out this list before the election. He said, I'm going to pick from one of these 25 people. So it should come as no surprise that this guy has gotten appointed. He's as perfect as you can get on the right. I mean, even Van Jones said he's the best of a bad lot from a liberal perspective. So it just seems that everything now is a pretext to have a Trump temper tantrum. It seems that's just the way it is. And all these radical leftist crazies, they're pressuring their more moderate people to come along with them, because if they don't, like Chuck Schumer, they'll protest outside your house, outside your office. They'll embarrass you. And that's just where we are today.
Yeah, it's a level. It's a new age of fascism. But I mean, here's the thing your listeners need to know: the sediment of Roe versus Wade, meaning the precedential sediment of that case, 46 years later, they're not changing that case. They're not overturning that case.
No,
that would have to happen through some kind of legislative degree in the Congress. And if you pull that, wherever you are in that, you and I are both Catholic. But whoever you are on that, it's 67-33 pro-choice versus pro-life in the country. And so the court is a political instrument as well as any other instrument, even though they say that they're above the law and so on and so forth in terms of the way they look at it. They're not going to seismically change that. Just look at what Justice Roberts did on the Obamacare situation. Okay, it was impossible in his mind to overturn Obamacare. And so he turned it into a tax for the purpose of that opinion.
And which,
right?
Kavanaugh, by the way, did mention, he said that before Roberts did, as a matter of fact. So he defended that very same principle. Listen, Anthony Scaramucci, we're out of time, but you are one hell of a smart guy, and we love when you come on the Bernie and Sid show. We really do.
Always great to be on. Okay, I look forward to the next time I'm able to show up on your great show, man. God bless you guys. Okay, I'll see you soon.
Same to you. Godspeed, Anthony Scaramucci. I'm Bernie and Sid. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
All right, everyone. I'm Juliette with your entertainment news. Forget the giant Trump baby balloon. Anti-Trump Brits are aiming higher in their quest to send a message to the U.S. president. And they're doing it in a very British way. Let me explain. So, Bernie, back in 2008, there was a DJ who started a Facebook campaign. I forget why. I think it had something to do with with reality show singers becoming pop stars. But anyway, he tried to get Rick Astley's song, Never Gonna Give You Up, that one.
Never Gonna Give
You
Down.
Yeah, to number one.
Yes.
There was another quest to get Iron Maiden's song, Number of the Beast, to the top of the charts for some reason or another. Anyway, today...
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, it's the 90s. Well, actually, no, it's 2004. But yep. The grunge band from the 90s, Green Day... Get your Xanax and Valiums out there, buddy. You're not going to like this.
I've already talked about this.
You have?
Yes.
I didn't hear this.
That's quite all right.
Well, what if people are just tuning in now?
No, it's fine. I'm glad you're bringing it up.
Okay, listen.
Because I want to address it.
Okay, listen. Don't want to be an American idiot. That's Green Day's song. It came out right as we had President George W. Bush, and I think it was before we were going into war. That song climbed up the top of the charts. It was number one, but it's climbing up again in Great Britain.
Okay, so here's the thing. That song, the Washington Post just had to print a retraction. They quoted a website that is run by the satirical newspaper called The Onion.
Mm-hmm.
That said that song was written about George Bush 43, mm-hmm. back in 2004. The Washington Post had a... print the retraction saying, sorry, that's wrong.
Well, I didn't say it was written about it. It was coming out during that time.
Yes.
And there was lots of, you know, angst and chaos during that time.
Washington Post, fake news. That's A.
Okay.
And so now this idiot, this guy with who's putting this out, he's trying to embarrass our president. With
yes.
Of course, the mayor.
One of many people who is trying to.
Right. The mayor of London put that, he approved this blimp of the president as a baby to fly over Parliament.
Well, the president won't even be in the area. He's going to be over at Windsor Castle in Windsor, which is miles and miles away from Parliament.
Either way, it's disrespectful. I mean, do they not forget they'd be speaking German right now if not for the United States?
I heard you say that. Yes, I did hear you say that.
I mean, what is wrong with these snaggletooth?
Well, I mean, it's not the entire country that's doing it. It's people who are like the president.
The terrorist sympathizing mayor of Londonistan himself, Sadiq Khan, he approved it. He thinks it's a good idea. He likes it.
Well, he and the president have not had. There's not been any love lost between those two. It is a little surprising that a mayor would say it's okay, but you know, FU back at the president.
If somebody did that to Obama, I mean, I don't think people would be very pleased with that.
I think the people who supported Obama would be very displeased about that. I do.
I think most people would. Politics is supposed to stop at the water's edge. You've heard that many, many times.
Well, listen, but the president is over the water's edge, and he's already gunning. He's already gunned for Germany
that's
today.
That's okay. He's not gunning. He's trying to make them pay their fair share of the NATO bill.
Well, and I don't know if you've been listening to what he's been saying today, saying that Germany's basically in the pocket of Russia.
Because they made a deal for a sneaky deal for a gas line.
Well, let's see how things go when the president meets with Putin, because he's been very complimentary of Vladimir Putin.
Let me just remind people what Germany did.
Has he been complimentary of Vladimir Putin? And is Vladimir Putin a good guy?
He's saying
or is he a dictator and he's psychotic?
Germans shouldn't be doing business.
Just answer my question.
He has been saying nice things
about Vladimir Putin.
That's right.
Very complimentary things. You know that is wrong.
They're alpha male types. They've sort of.
But you would be going crazy. Okay, you would be going crazy if somebody was saying something like.
If it was another
European leader that was saying that about Vladimir Putin, you would be calling that person out. I know you would.
Angela, pay your fair share. Pay your fair share. And don't forget, we know what you did.
I thought you were calling me Angela.
We know what you did back in the 20th century.
I am German.
And then we still. After what you did, we still had something called the Marshall Plan.
But you still bring up what happened to the Irish 200 years ago.
We rebuilt Germany to allow it to be this economic superpower it is today.
I know a lot of you agree with Bernie right now, but you're also the first people to say, get over it. This happened hundreds of years ago. Slavery happened hundreds of years ago. Let's move forward. I'm not specifically talking about you. But, you know, let's stay on topic.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Well, why am I
you're going to slavery
topic.
And the Irish famine. Forget all that.
You always bring up the Irish famine.
Stop.
Every time I talk about the wonderful Queen Victoria.
You know.
Well, I'll save this next story then for next hour.
Please. We'll talk next hour.
Your brain is going to
explode. I got a couple of things. But right now, Rita Rudner. She's coming up very, very soon. Funny comedian.
I love Rita Rudner.
She used to be on Johnny Carson, and she's still killing it.
She's a legend.
She is.
All right.
Thank you,
Juliet. That's entertainment.
There you go. Thank you, Juliet, very much. So, listen, let's take a break, Matt, and we'll come back with Rita Rudner on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie, Sid, Alexa. The only three names that matter. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Now on Echo Devices.
77 WABC.
But I was standing there in this leather dress, and it wasn't until then that I realized how uncomfortable cows must be.
Leather doesn't breathe through.
Now that moo is really a cry for help.
I didn't know that. Well, you're looking nice anyway.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. That was a blast from the past, folks. That was our next guest, comedian Rita Rudner, on with, Johnny Carson back in the day. And Rita Rudner, she's back in New York. She's performing tonight and tomorrow night at Feinstein's 54 Below. It's a club up on 54th Street. And anyway, she's on the line with us right now. Good morning to you, Miss Rudner.
Good morning. I'd forgotten that joke. How uncomfortable cows must be. People say, "What will you do this joke?" It was my favorite joke, and I have to tell them to do it to me because I forget.
Well, you're gonna do it tonight and tomorrow night. There you go. We just provided you with a little bit of your own material that you can use coming up tonight.
Thank you. But I have a new joke concerning cows.
So
I won't be able to use it because you can't say cow twice in the same sentence. In the same set, yeah.
No.
This is the first. I've never been funny before coffee, so I'm really going to try.
Oh, this is tough for you. This morning thing is tough. And you live out west, and so this is really not your thing.
I think it's 4 in the morning there. I'm bad, but celebrities all move west because they like to be 3 hours younger.
Well, listen, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be funny. It's a pleasure to speak with you. Again, Rita Rudner, listen, not to date you, we played that because, look, being on Johnny Carson is just...
Date me. Who cares? Please.
Okay, what are you doing?
Around a long time, it's okay because it means that you might be doing something right.
Oh, I thought you meant date you and, go out to eat or something, but... No, I got you. Listen.
Date you.
I kid.
See, it's so early.
It's too early. So, look, listen. The first time you appeared on Johnny Carson, you actually got bumped, right? This was in 1988.
Oh, yes. And the second time I got bumped, too. So, he did a show called The Bump Show, and there were three of us who'd been bumped multiple times, and he devoted the show to us because he was a really nice guy.
Oh, that's sweet. That is nice. Yes, I read that you got bumped the first time for Barry Manilow and Howard Cosell, which means you were...
And the second time, it was, I think, Shirley MacLaine.
Wow. That's quite the stellar lineup to be in the green room to get bumped for. I mean, worthy people, right?
Well, I always said if Shirley MacLaine was so in touch with the universe, why didn't she know she was taking my segment?
Say, Rita Rudner, listen, I'll tell you what. You're a funny woman. You're very funny. When the troglodytes used to say to me that the women comics are not funny, I had five words for them. Joan Rivers and Rita Rudner. I mean, you are just hilarious.
Thank you very much. I tried to be funny in a kind of a different way because I love Joan Rivers. And she was actually a friend of mine for a long time. She was such a wonderful woman to other female comedians. She was always so welcoming. And yeah. I think that's something that's kind of unique in this industry. And Johnny Carson was like that, too. He really liked to welcome comedians on his show.
Yes, he started many a career with comedians, for sure. I'm speaking with Rita Rudner, the comedian. She's performing tonight and tomorrow, folks, at Feinstein's, 54 Below. It is a Broadway supper club, and go check her out. She's very, very funny, Rita Rudner. Now, Rita, so you basically live out west, and you perform these days in Las Vegas. Am I correct?
I performed in Las Vegas exclusively for 13 years, and because it was very strange, it was the one place a comedian could have a normal life and have a family. So I took a car to my show every night, and the audience took a plane, which was a welcome change of events. I could raise our daughter with my husband and actually have a little family. But it is a strange place to raise a child. Would you like to hear a joke about Las Vegas, since I am a comedian?
Por favor, Rita, please.
Por favor. Okay. When I took her to kindergarten, it was the first time I'd ever seen a playground with a stripper's pole. So there you go.
That's Vegas. Sin City. What happens in Vegas is supposed to stay there, but okay, now we know. That's funny. No, that's very funny.
I stayed there for 13 years, and then they let me go out. But I still go back in occasionally. In fact, I still live there. But I didn't gamble. I saved my money. So Martin and I were able to buy a beach house. So when it gets to be 180 degrees in Vegas in the summer, we can go to the beach for a breeze.
Yes. Oh, it is brutal out there in the middle of the desert. But as you say, it gave you a normal life. Rita Rudner on the Bernie and Sid Show right now again tonight. It's called Feinstein's 54 Below tonight and tomorrow night. Check her out. Now, listen, you grew up, you didn't start comedy until you were 25 years old. You were a dancer, Rita, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I think 27 was really more about the age. So you were 2 years off, but I'm going to forgive you. I danced and sang and acted on Broadway for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And, did six Broadway shows.
Okay, so then 25, you got into comedy, and what motivated you at that point, at that late stage, for most people anyway, it would be, to get into comedy?
Well, it's a late stage for a dancer at 27. You don't really get better after 30. That's a well-known fact if you're a dancer.
So you needed something.
I said, what can I do where there are not too many females? And I looked around, and it was comedy, because Joan Rivers and Phyllis Diller were the only two women that I could name who were doing comedy. And I said, well, you know, there are thousands of people going to these auditions whenever I, you know, go to auditions for Broadway, and there are only two females, so let's try that. So that's what I did, and it worked out really well. I'm glad I did it, because I'd hate to be auditioning to dance on Broadway at this point.
Yeah, no, that would be a tough road right there. But you succeeded wildly, Rita Rudner. You were just fantastic again on the Johnny Carson and met various stand-up shows. At one point, you actually met President Obama in Las Vegas. You performed for him. Tell us what that was like.
That was it was interesting, because I don't do political humor, because there are so many people who do it better
Smart.
Than I do it. And they have a nightly forum. You know, they can talk about things that happen during the day and write jokes about them. And if I started writing a joke this morning about something that happened, you know, and said it tonight, it would already be out of date, especially with this administration, because so much, you know, so many things happen in an hour.
Oh, no, tell me about it, yes.
Yeah, you can't keep track of it. So, but I did write about 10 minutes of material, and first it was President Obama, and then it, and I hosted the show, which starred Sheryl Crow and Bette Midler, and I got on stage and I followed Obama and I said, I never thought the president of the United States would be opening for me. So it was, at least I got off to a good start. I can't remember any of the jokes and none of them would be relevant at this point.
No,
but it was an exciting experience.
It had to be a thrill. And I read also that some of your comedic influences were people like Woody Allen and Jack Benny. Are there any comedians today who you say, hey, I mean, I know you worked with Jerry Seinfeld, and but anybody stand out to you today that you say, hey, I really like this person?
You know, I don't listen to any comedy anymore because I do it for a living, and I'm sure you don't go home and turn the radio on and say, let's listen to the radio all day. Or as
no,
surgeons
I don't.
Don't say, you know, and I'm going to watch some other surgeons perform surgery tonight. So what I do is I watch lots of sports. In fact, my husband is European. And he's English.
He's British, so, yes, I read that.
Yes, so today we have an important date with a soccer match, or as he calls it, football.
Football, and that's right, yes. England plays Croatia.
Yes, there you go. And he's got his England shirt. He packed it. So he has to wear his England shirt whenever he watches England play soccer. And I love tennis, so I'm going to be watching Wimbledon before that. So I will have my fill of people knocking balls around by the time I go on stage tonight.
That's,
you know,
funny.
A ball is a very, very important, you have to have that in a game. So I'll be watching the ball go back and forth and in Wimbledon, and then I'll be watching them try to put the ball in the net in soccer. I'll have a very busy day.
You'd be a lot of balls in Rita Rudner's life. And listen, England, apparently, the U.K. right now, the center of attention. The president is going there tonight. A lot of political turmoil.
And yeah, let's go. Let's focus on soccer.
Yeah, well.
But I like it when the ball goes in the net.
You like that. You know what? There's this soccer commentator. His name is Tommy Smythe. He said, and he's an Irishman, and he calls it when the ball, when they put the bulge in the onion bag. That's how he
describes. I like it.
That's funny, right?
It's like a little bag.
Right.
Yeah, that's comedy, yeah.
That's funny. And he's a soccer commentator, well-known guy. He's been on ABC, et cetera. But anyway, comedian Rita Rudner tonight, Feinstein's 54 Below. And it's tonight, tomorrow night, actually. And so, Rita, listen, just one last question on the comedy these days. I mean, you were never blue. You never did blue work. It was always clean stuff. Am I correct?
Yeah, because it doesn't feel right. But if it felt right to do it the other way, I'd do it. I think that's what's great about comedy, is everyone comes with their unique perspective. And I certainly think people can be really funny, you know, using whatever language they want to use. But it doesn't feel right for me, so I don't do it. And also, you know what? I'm a mother, and my daughter just turned 16, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to try to be a good role model. And if I get up there and do things that I don't want her to do, that's not right, you know? So I've been even trying to stop at red lights because she's going to try to get her... She's going to try to get her driver's license when she gets back. I try to drive safely, and you don't know what's going to happen, but you try to put as much good stuff in there as you can.
Well, look, Rita Rudner, folks, you hear her now. She's as funny as ever, and she's a class act. She's going to be tonight at this place called Feinstein's 54 Below. It's right by Broadway.
And it's called that for such a good reason. It's below Studio 54. So they said, what should we call it? Should we call it above? Should we call it on the side? Should we call it on the bias 54? No, below 54. But I do like on the bias 54. I think that would be a good name.
That's
too.
Not bad. It's a nice supper club, and you'll have a great time to see Rita Rudner. You'll laugh. And again, she's a class act, so you can bring your adult kid if you want and not be embarrassed. Rita Rudner tonight at Feinstein's 54 Below. Thank you, Rita. Good luck to you.
Thank you very, very much, and I'm going to go have some coffee right now.
Yes, indeed. Good luck. Break a leg tonight, tomorrow night, and we'll have you back at some point on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. This is Bernie and Sid in the morning, the new morning show.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Hey, I heard you were a wild one. Ooh, I took you.
I love this song. Flo Rida, baby.
So good. That's where it starts going.
That's it. Look at, oh, Juliet's busting a move. Look at that.
My bad shoulder. I can't do the fist bumps with my right arm anymore.
Here he comes. Here comes Flo. Here he comes. Here we come. Here we come.
Yeah. Mimi, put your clothes back on, for God's sake. These millennials.
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show. My boy Sidney will be back tomorrow. We're contractually obligated not to vacation together, so we have to work individually, and that's the case today.
What if you wanted to go on a trip together, like actually go on a trip together?
If Sid and I wanted to, say, go to Key West together?
Yeah, or... I don't know. Well, London this week.
We would have to bribe the program director.
Gotcha.
The wild one. So listen, speaking of Sid, he's actually going to go see Joel Osteen. And we have some tickets for this Friday's event. Joel Osteen is at the Barclays Center this Friday. He's 2:30 and 7:30, but we have tickets right now to the 7:30 show for Joel Osteen. You're going to have award-winning musicians there, Victoria Osteen, Dodie Osteen. And, well, we have tickets for you right now. You can go to Ticketmaster.com if you want to buy the tickets. But 77 WABC right now, be the 10th caller for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the 7:30 show for Joel Osteen, 212-268-WABC. That's 212-268-9222. If you haven't heard, folks, we've talked about it with Sid on the air. He's inspired by Joel
Osteen.
Lost
his mind over this guy.
No, he does. He likes Joel Osteen.
He watches them instead of the Sunday political shit.
Right. He gets all bummed out watching Chuck Todd and whatever.
Chris Wallace,
George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, Stephanopoulos too.
And he goes to Joel Osteen, and he
just
feels
want
good.
A little inspiration sometimes.
Then
a
he goes
feel
out.
Good.
He pumps weights for 2 hours, and he's rejuvenated. Anyway, listen, Juliet, while you're here, mm-hmm. I just want to ask, this Catherine McPhee,
yes.
She was an American Idol runner-up. She was on the show called Smash,
mm-hmm.
which was, it didn't do...
Wasn't a smash.
Wasn't a smash hit, no. But so she's on Broadway now, and she's getting a lot of heat for marrying this 64-year-old music mogul, whatever the hell his name is.
Why am I blanking out on, of course. He was married to, he's famous. Why am I blanking on his name?
Who are we talking
about?
Come on.
Here? Catherine, the guy, the Catherine.
Catherine McPhee.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the old dude.
David.
Anyway.
My mind is gone.
David Fox.
David Fox.
No.
It's Walters.
David Fox.
Something Walters.
No. Oh, my God. Hold on a second. I got to Google this. It's going to freak me out. I literally think that I'm getting dementia.
David
not even
Foster.
Kidding. Foster,
right, we got
thank
it.
You. Jeez.
Thank you. Well, are you okay?
I don't know. It's scaring me. I'm starting to forget things lately.
You need the value.
I do. Give me that bottle. She's.
So what is this? She's getting a lot. He's 64 years old.
Why is she getting heat?
He's got daughters that are in their 40s that have kids. He's a grandfather.
Yeah.
He's got 7 grandchildren, 4 kids in their 40s. She's 34 years old.
And he's been married quite a few times.
He's been married 4 times.
Recently to Yolanda from Yolanda Hadid, the supermodel's mom,
right.
From Real Housewives.
So he's a music mogul, so
mm-hmm.
obviously he can do things for her career-wise.
Well,
a lot of cynics out there are saying that this just doesn't smell right.
Okay, first of all, number one, When she was a finalist on whatever season it was on American Idol, I did this whole thing with her. We went to, it was for a segment that I was doing for my show, but I spent some time with her and I really liked her. I thought she was a really
very cool, very attractive, beautiful,
but really just a cool girl. Secondly, I remember seeing her maybe a year later on a special. I was getting my nails done at my nail salon in Hoboken. And they were running this video of some sort of special that was a David Foster. I think it was David Foster songs, or it was a tribute to David Foster. And she was one of the singers that were brought on. It was her. I think Blake Shelton was there. And so I remember I was thinking, well, that's amazing, because he obviously saw something in her. This is a guy who's got powerful friends, yeah. Babyface. I mean, everybody, you know, he's connected to everybody. Mm-hmm. So I thought that says a lot for her. He really believes in her. I mean, that has got to be 15 years ago. So they've obviously had some sort of relationship or friendship or camaraderie over the years. I don't think he can. I mean, what else can he do for her? She's made a name for herself.
No, she's only. I mean, Broadway is where you go when
no,
you can't
she's on,
get on.
She's on another show. She's on a network
movies.
Show.
Is she?
Yeah, she is. I don't forget what it's called, but I mean, she's definitely a success now. I would say she's A-list. I mean, she's not A-plus list, but. I think I would say that she would be A-list. If she would go places, you'd see. She's not. I don't think bodyguards yet.
B-list. A-list is.
Let's say in your mind, A-minus list.
A-list is Jennifer Lopez. Is Barbara Streisand?
I think she's up. I mean, she's getting up there. You see a lot of.
Is the girl?
that one.
No, the one. You know, the one on,
so
on America's Got Talent, or
I don't.
The one where they
American
sing.
Idol.
Cardi B.
The girl who was on the July 4th thing.
Kelly Clarkson.
She's not that. So anyway.
No, not
so
yet. Whatever. Well, I mean, it's, so whatever, it's arguable.
Why are people beefing that she's married the 64-year-old?
I don't know.
I think I could guess.
Plenty of 64-year-olds that are men that are, men that are married to younger women, and this happens all the time. I don't get what the big deal is.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
I think I say good for her.
Plugged in, so I thought you might know.
No, I mean, I don't know. I got to give her a call, I guess, and find out what the deal is. I don't think she's trying to use him as a stepping stone. I mean,
no.
I think she has a lot of contacts.
She's genuinely attracted to a 64-year-old guy.
He's a good-looking guy. I mean, you know, he's an older man. He's not my type.
Filthy rich, very influential in her business.
See, you're so cynical.
I know, right?
So is everybody just supposed to be with, like, the blue-collar guy?
I don't know.
Like me?
I really don't know.
Because that works, too. But I mean, look,
that's right.
You know, you never know.
You're right.
You never know. And I just think that people are a little skeptical. If she was a nobody who's just kind of coming out from nowhere, I would definitely say that we should all be skeptical.
Can't never tell.
That's right.
And by the way, it's a free country.
Damn straight.
So let her do what she wants.
Girl.
So why you got to be bitching like that?
I know. For real. I have to write my newscast.
Thank you, Julie.
Okay, bye.
See you at the bottom of the hour. On the Bernie and Sid show, listen. In England, I'm rooting against England today. I have to tell you,
yes.
England. I have had it up to here with the English, with the Brits.
Yeah, same here, man. I can't take it anymore.
I mean, they're flying this Trump balloon.
So dumb. So dumb.
They don't want to pay their fair share of NATO. They don't want to. I mean, the government's in disarray. You know, they voted for Brexit 2 years ago, but the politicians won't get them out of the EU. The whole place stinks. And we have this guy, Sacha Baron Cohen, who is actually, he's a Brit. He's a funny guy. I've seen his stuff. Very, very funny. And I'm looking forward to his special July 15th on Showtime. He punks a lot of people. I mean, not just right. Dick Cheney is one. He got Dick Cheney to sign a water board, believe it or not. And, well, let's just play what that sounded like.
Dick Cheney, is it possible to sign my water board?
Sure. That's the first. That's the first time I've ever signed a water board.
That's the first time. I never did that. So he signs that. Now, he signs the water board at Sacha Baron Cohen's behest. He's been going around the United States for a year, punking people, all kinds of people. Ted Koppel is on that list. I don't know, a bunch of folks. So anyway, he went to Sarah Palin. Showtime called Sarah Palin. They said, would you come down to Washington, D.C. and be interviewed by a disabled veteran for a good cause? And so she flew down. They flew her down. And Sacha Baron Cohen rolls in to the interview room. And I when I say roll in, I literally mean roll in. He pretended he was a disabled veteran in a wheelchair, and he interviewed Sarah Palin. And so now she's calling him a piece of shizzle and says that it was disgusting what he did. They dragged her down there. She even claims that she ripped the mic off and walked out, and she claimed that.
I also read that she said that the Showtime's people who drove her to the airport drove her to the wrong airport.
That's right.
On purpose.
Right, so she would miss her flight.
Yeah, her and her daughter.
Right. That's nice people. But so anyway, Sacha Baron Cohen impersonating a disabled vet to get a laugh by embarrassing Sarah Palin. Okay, I mean, the left will love it. They'll think it's hilarious. But maybe it is funny. He's done stuff in the past that's been funny. As a matter of fact, he one time, well, now he's trolling Trump. He says he once tried this Ali G thing with the president where he's trying to sell him ice cream gloves. He actually went to Wall Street and he was trying to sell a bunch of businessmen as Ali G. He's like the W word that rhymes with digger.
Yes.
He was like, it's my thing here. Me wants to sell this to you. And he punked a lot of businessmen, but Trump, after 90 seconds, ripped the mic off, and he was like, I'm out of here. Not so much other people. A lot of people sat there and indulged his idiocy. But this is how it went with Trump in 2003 as he tried to sell him ice cream gloves.
I've got some business idea that I just want to tell you about, and I'll be a fool if...
Very quickly.
What is the most popular thing in the world?
Music.
No.
Tell me.
Ice cream.
Okay.
Everyone has it. And what is the problem with ice cream?
I have no idea.
It drips.
Okay.
So me idea is what?
To make a drip-proof ice cream.
No. Brilliant idea, this. All right, whatever. You ain't going to come out with that, though.
No, I promise you I won't.
Well, me idea is to come out with just like these ice cream gloves that make the ice cream not go on your hands and make it all well sticky. And also keep your hands warm.
Okay.
When you is eating the ice cream.
Okay.
Is you win or is you win?
Okay, well, it sounds like a good idea, and I hope you make a lot of money. Good luck, folks. It's been nice seeing you. You take care of yourself.
So he ripped the mic off and he got
bye up
and
bye.
That's funny, though. So then Trump went on, he put out his own video, smashing...
After he found out it wasn't real, yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen, he's not funny. He should go to comedy school and learn how to be funny. So Sacha Baron Cohen puts out a trailer of that. And then at the end it says, Sacha graduates soon. But this is what he put out. This is what's coming July 15th on Showtime.
This third-rate character named Sacha Baron Cohen, I only wish that he would have been punched in the face so many times right now. He'd be in a hospital. It was disgraceful. He ought to be fired immediately. Sacha Baron Cohen, go to school. Learn about being funny. You don't know.
So then the graphic reads, Sacha graduates soon, July 15th. So there's a lot of hype. I mean, whatever they did was very successful. They're catching heat with the impersonating of the disabled vet, but they certainly got a lot of publicity out of it. And it's just funny. Somebody would punch him in the face so many times.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's President Trump. Anyway, on the Bernie and Sid Show, my boy Sid is back tomorrow. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Juliette Pickles. An emotional roller coaster today in entertainment. Some happy news, though, we're going to start with for a guy who has really been through and seen a lot lately. You recognize this song, Bernard McGurk? McGurkage?
Yes. This is Jason Aldean.
This is really pretty. I'm not a country fan, but this is a nice song. Jason Aldean and his wife Brittany are expecting their second child together. They shared the news on Instagram, as everybody does these days, with a picture of their 7-month-old son, Memphis, dressed in a onesie that says Big Brother. Aldean has 2 daughters from a previous marriage. So, you know, congrats to him. He was there. He was there, as you know, on stage performing.
Right. When the shooting began.
Yeah, in Las Vegas. So, congrats to that family.
Good to him. Yeah, this is a good song. It sort of incorporates a little bit of rap. Listen. You hit it?
Oh, man.
Load the truck up, hit the dirt road.
Jump the
bar, spread the word. Light the bonfire and call the girls.
You like it, right?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it. It's okay. It's cute. Fight too. Better watch out for the boys. I can just imagine doing one of these. Anyway, okay.
There you go.
Enough with Jason. We got to talk about some bullying going on, and I know that you're not happy about this. Lots of presidential bullying going on.
Bullying.
Well, we've got the Brits. This time, we're back here stateside. Late night host Jimmy Kimmel. He was on vacation, and he was reacting to some stuff that broke over vacation. So listen, it's a little bit clip of it, of his show, of his return to his show.
Oh, here he comes, Donald Trump. Oh, he opens my door. I said, does he do this to everybody, to his people? He does it for nobody.
Right. Including you, I do it for nobody, because that never happens.
Anyway, so he says that whole Trump accusation or story that the president told about
how Jimmy Kimmel used to
love Donald Trump during the campaign. He went overboard to, you know, welcome him to a show. That was all a lie.
Listen, everybody wanted a piece of Trump during the campaign. If you recall, he was on all kinds of TV shows. And it's a he said, she said thing. I mean, who knows? Who cares?
Who's the she?
But where's the bullying part?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know. I know, well, bullying, I don't really think it's bullying. I'm just saying that for your benefit, because I know that sometimes you get upset about people going after Trump.
You mean Kimmel was bullying Trump is what you were
implying? Well, I think that he was kind of, you know, I think that he was kind of dissing him, saying he's a liar.
Speaking, if you want to use the word bullying, he's been slaughtering,
dissing,
savaging
bullying,
Trump.
Savaging.
And his wife.
Attacking.
He mocked his wife's accent. He mocked an immigrant's accent, Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, you talk about, if you want to use that word bullying, which I'm not a big fan of because I think it trivializes bullying.
Oh,
I mean, he does vicious
like
humor.
That.
I mean, bullying to kids in school that end up committing suicide.
Well, yes,
that's bullying.
Okay, well then I take it back. I don't want it to be offensive to anybody out there whose children have been bullied. I certainly was. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's back and forth and back and forth, and it's the ganging up. It's the mean girls.
Kimmel is just a blubbering fake piece of garbage is what he is. I mean,
like anybody that does not say nice things about Trump?
Like who?
Who has been saying nice things about Trump in the entertainment world?
I like a lot of people who don't like Trump. Yes, a lot of people don't like him. People who are unfair to him and unnecessarily vicious. This man has been so unfairly treated, I believe. So just attacked overwhelmingly by the whole.
Do you think it began with the entertainment complex, and which inspired him to go on his vitriolic rants on Twitter and, you know, rallies and stuff like that? Or think it's been just a vicious
circle?
What
I think is, when he was in the campaign, he employed a rough and tumble style against opponents. And if you recall, he waited until they attacked him first. And then he attacked. I remember Ted Cruz was like the last man standing before Trump eventually clinched the nomination to be president. And they were like buddies. And then during the Indiana primary, that was Cruz's last primary, he decided, well, it's only the two of us standing, I got to go after Trump.
But he goes after him in a very scrappy world.
He gets punched, and then he punches back even harder. That's the way I see it.
All right, and then one more thing, from late night controversy to provocative morning show hosts, sort of, not really. Kelly Ripa and her husband Mark Consuelos are developing a show about the Hamptons. Now, did you ever go to the Hamptons and do any summer share house?
Yes.
You did?
Oh my God.
What?
It was horrendous.
You did?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that.
Hampton Bays.
Oh, Hampton Bays.
We were on this side of the Shinnecock Canal, if you know what I'm saying.
I like Hampton Bays, though.
But the rich side, it's
the other side of the tracks.
All these snobs were on the other side of the Shinnecock Canal, Southampton, East Hampton, Amagansett. I didn't go to any of those places.
How many people were in your house?
Yeah, I was West Hampton, Hampton Bays.
That's cool.
They
fine.
They called the BQ crowd, the blue collar crowd, the crowd they hated. That's, they look down upon. People like you look down
what
your
do you mean
nose
people like me?
Because I know you were out there.
I've never been out there.
Oh, sure you
I've
were.
Been out there. I've gone out there, but I've never been in a share or anything like that. No. It's not my style.
But
my style is Hoboken, jeans,
when you
tank
go
tops,
to the Hamptons.
Flip-flops,
you go
City
to the,
Bistro.
You go to the Southampton, East Hampton.
I don't go to the Hamptons, though.
Did you used to?
No, I've never gone out there.
So anyway.
I had to go there for a bachelorette party, and I met a friend out.
Take it all back.
You should. See, look at you. Don't you stereotype me. Don't you stereotype me,
it was horrible, man. We had like 40 people in a house.
So, okay, that's well, then she might have based this on you because,
terrible.
Well, I don't know. There was a book that came out called How the Other Half Hamptons. It's basically about a couple girls who spend 16 weekends over the summer in a 10-bedroom house with 40 people. It sounds like absolute hell to me. Even when I was 21, I would think that this would be torture.
It really was. I mean, you had to
sleeping a flop house.
In windowsills.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
exactly.
Terrible. And then you go home tired and.
Exactly.
You know, it just.
Oh, it's miserable. And then you're not only are you tired, you're hungover, and then you're trying to deal with traffic. But anyway,
yeah.
So Kelly and her husband are developing a series based on this book about summer shares in the Hamptons, which could be pretty
idea.
Damn entertaining.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, so it should be good.
None of it needs to be fiction either.
Oh, God, no, not at all. All we have to do is just put a couple little, video cameras in some rooms. Well, they already do that. There's a show called Summer House on Bravo, I think it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, the people have random sex and drinking 24/7.
Sounds like just another day at my house. On that note, I'm Juliet, that's entertainment.
Bye. Back in the Bernie and Sid show, I'm pleased to announce my boy Sidney will be back tomorrow from vacation. We're contractually obligated not to take vacation days together or on the same days. So thus my solo appearance today. But we'll all be back together tomorrow. Jill will be back. And it'll be a beautiful thing. Hey, listen, I'm going to talk to Alan Dershowitz in a little bit. This guy's been ostracized out in Martha's Vineyard. He's having a horrible summer. And I'm going to talk to him about all that coming up here on the Bernie and Sid Show next. I'll be here.